Stay connected. Sign up for our newsletter. Go beyond your favorite Voice America shows. Visit iradioblog.com.
The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Healing from the Heart with your host, Chris Chimbers. Our focus in this series is to help you understand the energetic landscape within each of us. Energetic healing helps us release negative energies and limiting beliefs, which prevent us from living life to the fullest. Chris is a healing practitioner who has helped many people connect with their heart and live their dream. Now, here is your host, Chris Chimbers.
Hi there, this is Chris Chimbers. The show is Healing from the Heart on Voice America Seventh Wave. Today I have a special treat for you, and it's books and resources that I recommend for the healing journey. So today I'm going to be talking about some fantastic materials, books, DVDs, other things, YouTube videos, which I have found very helpful, and so have many people. And I've put them all together in a certain order, and I think you'll find this quite interesting. Now, all the titles and the authors and information will be on my website, so you don't have to scribble down a lot of notes today. You can just relax and enjoy. And I will have this as a blog entry on my website, which is www.heartfreedom.ca, and you can refer to everything there. I go back quite a long time with my spiritual journey, back to the 1970s, and in those days, there really wasn't a whole lot out there. There was books, you know, there was the odd recording, but it was pretty scarce, and if to find out something new, you had to really know somebody. You had to be in some kind of a discussion group or have friends who were on the same path, because it was like the dark ages. And books were, you know, books took a long time to be ordered, and it was quite a different reality. And I think it's fantastic now with the internet how much information we can get at the, you know, at the at just a click, you know, of Google and search, and suddenly you've got all this stuff right, it comes right up for you. You have videos, you have, you know, demos, you know, excerpts from books. You can read parts of the book on Amazon, and it's amazing. So we've come so far in terms of accessibility to materials. So I'm going to go back to a lot of the basic books, which I think stand the test of time, and I'm only going to give you the best titles in my opinion, the ones that are really worth it. And I have read more, obviously, and I've sifted through them. Now, our healing journey, when I talk about that, we're talking about our own obstacles, because that's what I do as an energetic healer. I work with people to help them release obstacles inside, and that's really such an important part of the journey. I've shared my example before of trying to work with affirmations, but having the affirmations not work, and the reason for that was because I had too much negative beliefs inside, and the affirmations would just bounce off that. If you have a deep belief that you're not worthy, or you're never going to be successful, or, you know, you don't deserve to succeed, well, nothing can get through that barrier. That barrier is solid, and it's replaying all the time. So as we talked about last week with the three-dimensional therapy, those programs that are running can be changed, and that's part of my healing work too. is working with people to help them with the negative programs that are playing. And it's really like reprogramming a computer. It's magical. The areas of our life that where we're looking for results, where we're looking for success, I narrow it down to four general areas. Health. And when I talk about health, I obviously mean physical health, emotional health, you know, mental health. That's what under the umbrella of health. The next one is our relationships with others, our relationship with ourself, and our relationship with our inner child. This is very important too. The third umbrella is prosperity, which is our finances, our career, our relationship with money, and that's another big one. And the fourth umbrella is creativity. Creativity is overlooked sometimes. Many of us, you know, or just don't think that we can come up with creative ideas and solutions. And that's where we find the inner child work is amazing, because the inner child has the imagination of a child. And you can delegate questions and problems to the inner child. You can say, hey, you know, this is going on now. I wonder if you could give me an outside-the-box idea. And you give it a day or two to sit with the inner child, and then you check back in and you see what comes up. And it's pretty amazing what comes up in that area of creativity. So those are the four areas that we're looking at in our lives for results, to have a better life, to have happiness, peace, and health. So the first book today I want to talk about is The Emotion Code by Dr. Bradley Nelson. And this is a fabulous book. He talks about the whole spectrum of energy healing. And he's a pioneer in his wonderful work with the body code and the emotion code. He's been at it since the 1990s. He's been teaching for many years. And we have the study course for the body code and the emotion code. And there are many people out there who are emotion code and body code practitioners. Of course, his site is healerslibrary.com. I would like to read you a beautiful excerpt from the Emotion Code book, and this is about trapped emotions and disease. And I quote Dr. Brad, "The most ancient idea in the art of healing is that disease is caused by imbalance in the body. Trapped emotions are perhaps the most common type of imbalance that human beings suffer from. I believe that trapped emotions can be implicated in nearly all diseases, either directly or indirectly. Because trapped emotions are nearly universal, and because they always create distortion in the energy field of the body, and because they are completely invisible, they can cause an incredibly wide variety of physical problems without being unmasked. Trapped emotions are truly epidemic and are the insidious, invisible cause of much suffering and illness, both physical and emotional in nature. Trapped emotions lower immune function and make the body more vulnerable to disease. They can distort body tissues, block the flow of energy, and prevent normal function of organs and glands." And he has a great way with words and how he puts it. And it's a beautiful, beautiful basic book for energetic healing. That's The Emotion Code by Dr. Bradley Nelson. And it was a super eye-opener for me, I have to say. Now, another one who I really recommend, another author is Gerald Epstein. Dr. Gerald Epstein, he's from New York City, and he's an elderly man who has a lot of experience as a healer. He's a psychiatrist, but he also does waking dream therapy and imagery. And the book that I'm referring to today is Healing Visualizations Creating Health Through Imagery. And Dr. Epstein works with, he's developed a lot of guided meditations for people who have specific illnesses to work with to help their imagination visualize healing for them. And I will read an excerpt from Dr. Epstein's book here. When we think about healing, we are thinking about becoming whole. Becoming whole means putting ourselves back together. And when we are ill, we have, to some extent, fallen apart. Healing means that we have come back to our unity. The model for the healing function of becoming whole was portrayed more than 5,000 years ago in ancient Egypt in the story about the god Osiris, who was murdered by his brother Seth. His body was dismembered into 14 pieces, each piece buried in a different part of Egypt. Osiris's wife, Isis, recollected these hidden pieces and brought Osiris back to life by remembering him, by putting all the pieces together. Remembering literally means to reconnect one piece of the body to another. The body means physical and mental and emotional. Putting ourselves together includes all three. Remember also means to recall. Remembering, then, is to restore ourselves to wholeness by recalling our unity and putting our body-mind back together. Imagery is the mental way of remembering and recalling. The act of seeing in pictures is to see wholeness and is the mental analogy to physical remembering. If health and wholeness are associated with remembering, then it follows that illness is associated with forgetting. When we have lost our unity, which is what illness tells us has happened, then we have forgotten ourselves. Surgery may be an attempt to remember on a physical level. Imagery is the same process on the mental level and can affect remembering on the physical level. In ancient times, philosophers such as Plato saw the individual as a little world that was a smaller version of the national and cosmic worlds. The imaginal doctor is in line with this holistic tradition. Any rupture in the link between the individual and the greater world, the world of the family, or the even greater world of the social realm, requires repair along the entire line. When an individual remembers his or her personal history, a positive ripple effect occurs, contributing ultimately to restructuring the entire family of humankind. Dr. Epstein has done some wonderful work, and I'll read you a short healing visualization from his book. This is called the musical triangle, and it's used for heart problems. So it's done as a slow guided meditation. Close your eyes, breathe out three times, and see a musical triangle that you place in the center of your heart. Each of the three sides is golden. The three curves of the angles where the sides join are different colors. One is red, one is blue, one is yellow. With a soft golden mallet, play each of the three sides, hearing a harmonious sound, knowing that as you play, your heart is quieting down. When the sound is completely harmonious, your heart will be in tempo. Then open your eyes. That was Healing Visualizations. Now, the next book I'd like to recommend is Karma Buster by none other than Joe Nunziata, who was my guest a little while ago. And the byline is, Heal Yourself and Create the Life You Are Meant to Live. Now, this was an eye-opener for me. I had never thought that karma was something that we could actually impact, having taken the traditional study that karma was more of feeling like it was sort of an imposed thing, and that's completely erroneous. We create our karma. So I'll read what Joe says about karma here. Your karma is the unresolved feelings and emotions you came here to experience in this lifetime. Some people resist the concept that they are the creators of everything in their lives. It takes great courage to accept that you have so much power. We are much more comfortable being victims and feeling weak. Living in a state of weakness is easier because it removes your ability to make changes. As a victim, you have no power and cannot change what is. The key to being the creator of your life is accepting that you have the power to make changes. You must know you are the one with your hands on the steering wheel. Accepting this power means accepting the responsibility for everything in your life. Most people fear this type of power. For this reason, many would rather live as victims and martyrs. You are creating your life based on the feelings and emotions your soul wants you to feel. This is your karma. To have a full life experience, you must feel the entire spectrum of emotions. If there is no fear or sadness, how can you experience love and joy? You would not know the difference. Swings of emotion are important in your journey. Accept this fact and embrace every emotional aspect of your human experience. This is the reason you're here in the first place, to feel your emotions. The reason you are so terrified to change is fear of the unknown. Dissolving your negative ego identity means you are changing who you are on a deep emotional level. You will begin to vibrate at a different level of energy. In this new vibration, you are going to attract different people and situations. And I can definitely say that I have seen a lot of results when we do work with people's karma. So it's another aspect of the work that I do, and I've learned a lot from Joe Nunziata. Thank you. Another guest that I had on recently was about, Jean-Pierre DeLuca, who was presenting the science of Ho'oponopono, the Hawaiian healing method. Now, the book that you can find on the subject of Ho'oponopono is called Zero Limits, and the authors are Joe Vitale and Dr. Hugh Len. It's a beautiful story about Dr. Hugh Len's work, and it describes quite a lot of the Ho'oponopono ideas, the simplicity of the technique, and the power of the technique. There is a beautiful video on YouTube, and I will definitely list that one. It's called the Ho'oponopono Song, and if you put Nowness 7, you'll be able to find the video. It's absolutely beautiful, the images and the music. I would like to read there one of their central prayers, which is called I Am the I. I come forth from the void into light. I am the breath that nurtures life. I am that emptiness, that hollowness beyond all consciousness, the I, the Id, the All. I draw my bow of rainbows across the waters, the continuum of minds with matters. I am the incoming and outgoing of breath, the invisible, untouchable breeze, the undefinable atom of creation. I am the I. So that gives you an idea of where they're coming from. It's all about love and forgiveness. What a beautiful study. Another book I love to recommend is called Angel Words by Doreen Virtue and Grant Virtue. And this is another eye-opener here, because they talk about your words and how important it is to choose your words properly. Because words either have a high vibration or a low vibration. And I think we all instinctively know which ones they are, but probably most of us have not really thought about the idea of consciously choosing the words that we use. So here's what Doreen Virtue says about that. Positive words, like guardian angels, can help you soar into new horizons. The mere act of altering your vocabulary and using life-affirming language can quickly and dramatically change your life in magical ways. I'd always noticed my unpleasant reactions whenever I or others around me engaged in negative discussions. No matter how juicy the gossip, I can feel my stomach tightening in response to talking about others. The same goes for fear-based speculations about the Earth's environment or humankind's future. Looking at the constricted, negative word graphs, I could little wonder why my body feels tense around negative words. Low vibrational conversations are palpable. In addition to stomach tightening, I notice that my energy and enthusiasm becomes drained. I'm tired and no longer smiling after a negative discussion. I remember a saying that someone wise taught me as a child. Small people talk about other people, average people talk about material things, and great people talk about ideas. And she goes on. Now, when she refers to graphs, the book shows you these polygraph readouts or printouts of different words. It's quite amazing. Any negative word comes out as very, very contracted, and positive words are very open. The lines go very high up and down. When I say that a word is negative, I'm not implying that it's bad or wrong. That is judgment, which is the ego's way of labeling and pigeonholing everything. Instead, the word negative is a synonym for low vibrating. While the ego relies on up-in-the-head judgment to decide whether something is good or bad, the higher self uses discernment, which is a feeling-based way of either being attracted to or repelled by something. Ego uses labels. The higher self employs feelings and the law of attraction. As an example, the ego would say that cigarette smoking is bad. The higher self would say that it's not attracted to cigarette smoking. Which feels better, the ego's judgment or the higher self's discernment? It's an amazing book. Doreen Virtue has written so many books about angels, and this is such a practical book. It talks about all the ways that we can be aware of our speech and just how important that is. Now I'm going to come to one of my all-time favorites. You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay. Louise is one of the true pioneers in holistic health. She was writing back in the 1970s about these subjects when it was so off the wall. Now it's almost becoming mainstream. It's a little scary. But Louise was the first to make the connection between emotions and physical illness. And at the time, it was, that was a very radical idea. I think we're really opening up to those ideas now, thank God. So her book, You Can Heal Your Life, has gone through many editions, and she's just a beautiful writer. And something close to my heart, she has a gardening analogy here. And I remember when I started off as a gardener many years ago, one of the things I was growing was tomato plants. So this little story is really cute. Think for a moment of a tomato plant. A healthy plant can have over 100 tomatoes on it. In order to get this tomato plant with all those tomatoes on it, we need to start with a small dried seed. That seed doesn't look like a tomato plant. It sure doesn't taste like a tomato plant. If you didn't know for sure, you would not even believe it could be a tomato plant. However, let's say you plant this seed in fertile soil, and you water it and let the sun shine on it. When the first little shoot comes up, you don't stomp on it and say, "That's not a tomato plant." Rather, you look at it and say, "Here it comes," and you watch it grow with delight. In time, if you continue to water it and give it lots of sunshine and pull away any weeds, you might have a tomato plant with more than 100 luscious tomatoes. It all began with that one tiny seed. It is the same with creating a new experience for yourself. The soil you plant in is your subconscious mind. The seed is the new affirmation. The whole new experience is in this tiny seed. You water it with affirmations. You let the sunshine of positive thoughts beam on it. You weed the garden by pulling out the negative thoughts that come up. And when you first see the tiniest little evidence, you don't stomp on it and say, "That's not enough." Instead, you look at this first breakthrough and exclaim, "Here it comes, it's working." Then you watch it grow and become your desire in manifestation. The only thing I could add to that is that you also need to prepare the soil, and that's the clearing work that that I do. There's a beautiful little essay that she writes here. You could call it a prayer, maybe. "In the infinity of life where I am, all is perfect, whole, and complete. My life is ever new. Each moment of my life is new and fresh and vital. I use my affirmative thinking to create exactly what I want. This is a new day. I am a new me. I think differently. I speak differently. I act differently. Others treat me differently. My new world is a reflection of my new thinking. It is a joy and a delight to plant new seeds, for I know these seeds will become my new experiences. All is well in my world." That book is You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay. Now, the next one I'd like to refer to is the three-dimensional therapy. Now, they don't have a book as such, but we have the study course. So for the T3, we can get the study course from them, and that would be at threedimensionaltherapy.com. Now, one of the books that they make a lot of use of, one of their references, I'm going to jump over to that one. It's called The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. And Gary Chapman is a relationship counselor, and he's written several books on the five love languages. And a quote from Gary Chapman is, "I am amazed at how many individuals mess up every new day with yesterday." The five love languages, in brief, are words of affirmation. So that would be, how do I receive love and how do I give love? That might be my choice. Now, everyone we can figure out every individual which one is their main one and which one is their secondary. And sometimes they have two or three. The second love language is spending quality time. So some people just enjoy that more than anything else. That's how they relate to others lovingly, spending quality time. The third one is receiving gifts. So, you know, some people, they just love to give them, and as well, they love to receive them because that's their love language. Acts of service. People who give acts of service also enjoy receiving them. And the fifth one is physical touch. So we all know people that just love to touch and be touched. So that book is The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. And it's a very important part of the three-dimensional therapy that we had the Gwen Legler and Leilani Alexander discussing very recently. So we're getting set to go to break now. And I will be back with more great material for you. The show is Healing from the Heart, and this is Chris Chimbers on Voice America Seventh Wave.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Be extraordinary. Be the change.
Do you dream of living your life to the fullest? Are you open to the possibility that what is missing from your life may be related to beliefs, programs, and emotional energy trapped inside you? Heart Freedom offers individual sessions with energetic healer Chris Chimbers to help you release the unwanted energy that holds you back. Let your heart become an active player in your life. Energetic healing is discreet, gentle, and gets results. Beautiful dreams come true when your heart's powerful energy is working to make them real. Would you like to free your heart and experience life without emotional baggage? Visit our website at www.heartfreedom.ca and book your appointment today. The life you've dreamed of is within your reach. Take that step and visit heartfreedom.ca today.
The Seventh Wave Channel on the Voice America Network.
You are tuned in to Healing from the Heart. To reach Chris Chimbers or today's guest, please call into our program at 1-866-472-5795. That's toll free, 1-866-472-5795. You may also send an email to info@heartfreedom.ca. Now, back to Healing from the Heart.
Hi there, and welcome back to the program. This is Chris Chimbers. The show is Healing from the Heart on Voice America. Today we're looking at books and other resources that I recommend for your healing journey. We've gone through already the Emotion Code book, Healing Visualizations, Karma Buster, Zero Limits, Angel Words, You Can Heal Your Life, and the Five Love Languages. And I've got a few more for you. One of the older books on prosperity, and one of the best ones, is by a lady named Catherine Ponder. She's a Unity minister from the southern United States, and she's written since a very long time on the subject of prosperity. And this is one of her first books on the subject, and I believe it's such a basic, informative and deep book on the subject. It's really amazing. And this little reading I'm going to make here is a section called Why Poverty is Not Spiritual. You may wonder why there has been so much talk of sacrifice, persecution, and hard times as necessary phases of the spiritual way of life. History reveals that the inspired yet practical teachings of the Bible continued to be observed during the early centuries after Christ. But soon religion became more secularized, leading to variations and departures from Jesus' original teachings. Later, the feudal system during the Middle Ages assured wealth only for the privileged few. During this period, the teaching of poverty and penance was offered to the masses as the only way to salvation, in order to keep people in poverty and to make lack and privation a supposed Christian virtue. Unsuspecting millions were led to believe that it was pious to be poor, a belief which was useful in forestalling revolution among the masses. Some of those old feudal ideas about poverty as a spiritual virtue have persisted until today, but they are false, man-made ideas and not God's rich truth for you and me. Make no further excuses to yourself or others for wanting to be prosperous. It is a divine desire that should be given divine expression. You can boldly give thanks that prosperity is your divine heritage, that the Father's desire for you is unlimited good, not merely the means of a meager existence. Catherine Ponder is one of the greatest teachers of prosperity. And one of her major points is that Jesus, if you look at what he did, he created abundance and he created health. Multiplication of the loaves and fishes, the water into wine, and the many healing miracles. He had the greatest awareness of being one and understanding that God wants abundance for us. That was the original plan, for us to be abundant, not to be fighting each other over scraps. And so if we look at the teaching of Jesus, we see that it is about abundance. And Catherine Ponder is one of the best authors. That book, by the way, was written in 1962. Now I'd like to talk about the Gospel of Thomas. I have a Skylight edition, which is translated and annotated, by Stephen Davies. And the Gospel of Thomas was discovered in the Nag Hammadi Library in 1945. It was these ancient scrolls that were found, and it was found along with a lot of Gnostic writing. But it's actually not a Gnostic gospel, although it's been lumped in with that by its detractors. It really talks about the simplicity of our journey, and it doesn't talk about the big issues that the Christianity later developed about the many theological issues. It's a very simple book. In fact, it's Zen-like in its teachings. And I'll read a little bit from the introduction to this book. The Gospel of Thomas speaks of the kingdom of the Father. We find that the kingdom already exists on earth and has existed since the very beginning of time. When Jesus is asked about the coming of the kingdom in Thomas, he replies that the kingdom is here now. It is right in front of your face, even though people usually do not see it. The Gospel of Thomas implies that the kingdom has always been present, ever since the first days of creation, but its presence is now hidden from almost everyone. One might summarize the Gospel of Thomas as saying, "Find the kingdom that is right here." Some have compared this perspective to such Eastern philosophies as Zen Buddhism. Few religious texts in the West insist that perfection exists on this earth now, if you can find it. Rather, the Western religions generally place perfection in the heavens and in the future. Thomas's gospel presents a very different view. And I will say from experience that when we work with this method of remembering the way that we were at the beginning, it's an extremely powerful vehicle. The concept is that the state of Adam in the original Garden of Eden was a different state than after the so-called fall. So our goal, working with the Gospel of Thomas, is to bring our mind back to that original state of the way that we were first created, and not the duality that we are now experiencing in the world. This is a great book, and I may come back to it in a future show, because I find it's very, very important. Another beautiful book, which I like, and this is a bit of a different one, this is called Anna, Grandmother of Jesus, A Message of Wisdom and Love. Now, this is the one book I'm talking about today that is actually channeled, and it requires an open mind. One could read it as fiction. It's beautifully written. It's so vivid. It makes you feel like you're right in the time. And it's about the story is that the Essenes, this sect that lived in the Holy Land prior to the coming of Christ, that their mission was to bring about and facilitate Jesus' journey, Jesus coming into the earth and fulfilling his mission. And they describe this in fantastic detail in this book. So I'll read an excerpt from the book from the beginning, introduction. The Essenes were said to maintain a strict ritual purity, to share their possessions in common, to work hard and keep no slaves. They did not seek pleasure and wealth, and they elected their own leaders from among themselves. Because they had strict dietary and health habits, refused to offer animal sacrifices as other Jews did, and used a solar, not a lunar calendar, they were considered very odd by their contemporaries. What these early writers failed to realize was that there were several Essene communities, and that it was the members of a small mystical group at Mount Carmel who were intensely devoted and involved in bringing a Messiah to planet Earth. None of the writers apparently realized that the wisdom Anna shared with her daughter Mary and later with their grandson Jesus were profound spiritual teachings and initiations whose influence would help formulate later Christian belief. We see how Jesus' resurrection allowed the formation of a church that deified Jesus as a savior, not as an Essene teacher and healer who taught each person to express their own inner Christ. Thus, the growth of Christianity as both a theology and an organizational entity began, and Essenism was set aside. Yeah, I really love this book. It's whether you take it as truth or fiction, it's, it gives you an amazing view of what life was like in that time. And of course, it has a rather different you know, different perspective. Anna, who we call Saint Anne, was the mother, of course, of Jesus' mother Mary, and is highly revered even in the Orthodox Church. The next book I'd like to recommend is Power Versus Force by Dr. David Hawkins. And this is quite a fantastic book too. This book talks about spirituality and more importantly, how we can discern things that are beneficial for us and things that are not beneficial for us. Dr. Hawkins was one of the first people to use applied kinesiology or the muscle test that is so common now to get information. And Dr. Hawkins, when he learned about muscle testing, he realized that maybe it could be used for a broader subject than just finding out about the individual who was being tested. And so he, over many years, developed a method of testing, let's say, if a food is good for someone or if, you know, a book is good for someone. And he talks about his scale of the level of consciousness. He developed an actual measuring stick, which he called, well, he calls it a compass. He says that we now have a compass for our spiritual journey, and we can actually calibrate different things, different teachings, and see if they're good for us. So it would be according to the level of consciousness of a teaching. So there are obviously teachings that are very high, and there are teachings that calibrate very low on his scale. So it's a fascinating study of his chart of the level of consciousness, and how everyone obviously is at a certain level of consciousness, and everyone is where they need to be. So it's not that one level is better than another. It's different. You know, there are people who are working at a heart level, and there are people that are working at the intellectual level, and people that are working at a more physical level, and there are people who are really like in what I would call in the arena, who are really, really fighting it out and having a very hard time, and where there's a lot of suffering. And everyone's level of consciousness is their own, you know, it's what you're working with. But Dr. Hawkins says that we can develop it. We can bring it to a higher level. And so that's what this book is about. And of course, it's all about being spiritual. Is our journey. It's our destination, actually. So I'll give a little example, a little quote from him. Enlightened beings have always described the general populace as being trapped in a dream. The majority of people are driven by unseen forces, and for a great deal of our lives, most of us are in despair over this fact. We pray to God to relieve us of the burden of our sins, and we look for relief through confession. Remorse seems woven into the fabric of life. How can salvation be possible, then, for those who have unwittingly become ensnared by such destructive influence? In fact, even from a scientific viewpoint, salvation is indeed possible. In truth, it's guaranteed by the simple fact that the energy of a loving thought is enormously more powerful than that of a negative one. Therefore, the traditional solutions of love and prayer have a sound scientific basis. Man has within his own essence the power of his own salvation. Perhaps it's because of our collective will to transcend that we've earned the capacity to finally discover an inborn compass to lead us out of the darkness of ignorance. We needed something very simple which could bypass those traps of the wily intellect that we've paid such an enormous price for. This compass merely says yes or no. It tells us that what's aligned with heaven makes us go strong, and what's aligned with hell makes us go weak. So that's a little quote from Dr. David Hawkins, and the book is Power versus Force. A very important book. Now, the last book I'd like to recommend today is on yoga. It's called Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda. And this book came out in 1946, and it's still one of the best. He was contemporary. He came over in the 1930s to the States. 1920. He lectured in Boston in 1920. And then he traveled in the 1920s to 1935 throughout, giving his talks and meeting people. And in the book, he talks about so many people that he met in his travels, including Luther Burbank, Therese Newman, Mahatma Gandhi, and many, many Indian saints and holy people. Yogananda was a his message was love, and of course he was teaching yoga, and he helped to popularize yoga in the West, and he also founded the Self-Realization Fellowship. I'll give a little quote from Yogananda here. The nature of habit can be understood by this analogy. Clay can be molded into a vase. And while the clay is still soft, it is easy to change the form of that vase again and again. But once it is fired in an oven, the shape becomes firmly set. So it is with your consciousness. Your thoughts are molding your actions, and your mental convictions from the repetition of those actions is the fire that hardens the thoughts into unyielding habit patterns. So it's the same now as it always has been. Repetition and being persistent and being open to change and growth. So that's what I have to recommend in the way of books. Now, I have a few other resources here. I still have a few minutes. If someone is looking for a really good coaching program, I'd like to recommend Robin Sharma. He has a wonderful program. And he has a great website. He has so many inspiring stories. He's written many books, too. He's a world-renowned coach. And I feel he's really one of the best. He's very, very extremely positive and motivational. And it's my personal opinion, but I find him a really valuable coach. Now, there are some fantastic videos on YouTube that a friend shared with me recently. And if you look for Patricia Cota Robles, she has created these videos, and her organization is, of course, it's a very spiritual one. And the videos are just amazing. They're among the most beautiful I've ever seen, with tremendous music. So Patricia Cota Robles is another person to look out for. There are two DVDs I'd like to recommend, and one of them is by Tom Shadyac. It's called I Am. It talks about our Western world and how we have exaggerated our need for success. And it sounds funny that I was talking about prosperity before, but my attitude about prosperity is just that we need to get in touch with it and not be blocked about it and not judge against it. what Tom's point is that people get obsessed about it. And the video I am talks about how much social problems are created by everyone just, you know, hoping to become a millionaire by winning the lottery, or, you know, fantasizing and about extreme wealth. You know, that is not in any way what I'm proposing. I'm proposing that we develop a prosperity consciousness, that we have a good living, but not that we become, you know, excessively wealthy. Everyone can't, but everyone can be comfortable. And that's certainly Tom's point in the video I Am. It's a really brilliant look at our Western society. And, of course, he speaks from the experience of being an A-list Hollywood director and being very, very wealthy himself and basically walking away from it. Another one that I've just encountered, a DVD, is called Black Hole. And you spell hole with a W, Black Hole. It's by Nassim Haramein, and it talks about the oneness of the universe from a quantum physics level. But he's able to explain it in a very brilliant way, in a very clear way. And if you're at all interested in that, this fellow has made some amazing connections in the field of physics. Black Hole by Nassim Haramein. So I did get through my list today. I'm a bit surprised, but there we go. So that's my gift to you today, is books and resources that I recommend to help you on your healing journey. And we have just a little time left, so I'd like to everyone to sit quietly if you have a chance. And feet on the floor. Take a deep breath. And let's give thanks for the whole healing journey, the fact that we have so many resources available to us. We are grateful, and we are open to releasing what blocks us from our goodness. We are all beings of light. Peace is within us. Love and light are within us. All we need to do is turn our attention inward and remember the way we were created. Thank you for spending time with me today. The show is Healing from the Heart. I'm Chris Chimbers, and this is Voice America Seventh Wave Network. Take care.
We appreciate you joining us this week on Healing from the Heart. Please join your host, Chris Chimbers, again next Thursday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Seventh Wave channel. Have an energetic and healing week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.